Despiértate, que el $4 Breakfast Meal Deal ha llegado a McDonald's. Incluye un Sausage McMuffin o Sausage Biscuit, Hash Brown y un café caliente. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu Meal Deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are off and running in today's edition of Football Full Circle right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel in for Ben Stevens, talking a little NFL preseason action. Two games on tap tonight. New York Giants 2.5-point favorites over the New England Patriots. Total is set at minus 110 either way. And a little bit later in the evening, we get the Baltimore Ravens squaring off against the Tennessee Titans. Right now, Scott, Baltimore 3.5-point favorites on FanDuel, total a little bit lower at 32.5. We've hoped to see both Malik Willis from the Tennessee Titans and Tyler Huntley with the Baltimore Ravens. Mac Jones won't play in the earlier game. That'll give way to former Western Kentucky and FBS leader in terms of touchdown passes, Bailey Zappi. But the bigger question is New York, Brian Daboll going up against their former potential head coach, Joe Judge, that might be calling the plays for New England. I'm all in on the Giants later tonight.
Really? Yeah, see, I'm going opposite tonight. I think everybody's going to be all in on the Giants because they know that Mac Jones isn't starting and Danny Nichols will be. And I think everyone's going to be all over Baltimore because we're going to hear all day about how John Harbaugh is 20-0 in his last 20 preseason games, which is impressive. It's damn good. But I think that line, there's not many times you get a preseason game where the line is at over 3, which it is for Baltimore. So I'm going to wait for that sucker to go up to 4 and bet Tennessee. And listen, I'd just as soon have the Wings backup than I would the Giants starters. So Belichick's
really
pretty good in the Belichick's 9-2 his last preseason, 11 games over the last 3 years. He doesn't lose, to first year head coaches, let alone, and then not that he have a first year quarterback, but I think the Patriots find a way to win. And I like the Zappi guy. He was good in college.
He was great in college. Yeah. Well, think about this. Bailey Zappi dominated Appalachian State. That was a game we covered on In Game Live about 8 or 9 months ago. Just threw for about 5 touchdowns in that performance. Like I said, he broke Joe Burrow's FBS record with 66 touchdown passes in terms of a season. But I think the bigger question that I look at when you talk about Mac Jones not playing, implemented as the starter, is it's not Bill Belichick anymore. It is now Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, in my opinion, that will get their feet wet in terms of play calling later tonight. This isn't the regular season. This isn't week one against the Miami Dolphins where they're a 2.5-point underdog. This is where you work out the kinks, right? So I expect a very conservative type of game plan, just like we saw with New York. You might even get 2 kneel downs inside their own 20-yard line. If it's up to Joe Judge in New England tonight, he might have Bailey Zappi, take 2 knees before the game is over. I'm telling you, I have no confidence in this coaching staff outside of Belichick this year, outside of McDaniels moving on to Las Vegas. I think they're just a mediocre team. And when you put these 2 coaches that are on the offensive side of the ball, I'm telling you, New England is in for a tremendous, tremendous disappointment in 2022.
First off, he was trying to give his punter a little bit more space. Now, he didn't necessarily have to do that on second down, but he's trying to give his punter more room. Leave poor Joe Judge alone. I defended him. His quarterback couldn't start for Topeka High, let alone an NFL team last year. So I'm going to give the guy a pass on that. But
you're giving
that
him
said,
a pass.
He was awful. I don't know how he ever won the starting job there in Georgia there, but he was just beyond brutal.
Well, so, I'll tell you.
You don't think Judge is not going to want to get back at his former club? And you don't think Belichick, who's pissed off at the Giants, what was the story that came up, you know, with them being part of the scandal of all the things going on in the offseason with the Dolphins and everything else and Brady and Belichick was thrown in there a little bit? Oh, yeah. I think the Patriots, I think Belichick is chomping at the bit to get at the Giants. I think they win easily tonight.
We will see. I like the Giants, but I do like the under. I think it's a very conservative game plan. I don't have any confidence in terms of Patricia or Judge. I think the game trends under tonight. Well, only time will tell. You know, typically New England struggles against the New York Giants. Right now they're at home. Yep. They're a 2.5-point underdog. We'll see how this game plays out. It's a 7 o'clock kick on FanDuel. Like I said, 34.5 is the total. But Malik Willis is interesting, right? Ryan Tannehill not going to get any snaps outside, maybe potentially one series tonight. It will be Logan Woodside and Malik Willis. This is an opportunity for Malik Willis to really step up and showcase that he was, in fact, a first-round draft pick, right? Slipped to the third round. Maybe he jumps out and does have a big performance tonight. I happen to like the over 32.5 when you look at this ball game because of the athleticism of Willis, because they need to coach him up in terms of the preseason, and you have two backups in Brett Henley and Tyler Huntley for Baltimore that do and can move this ball club in terms of over the top in terms of the passing offense and their legs.
Yeah, I agree. I think the backups here are actually, I won't say as good as the starters, but you have some decent backups that are going to want to shine, right? I mean, especially Willis on the one side with Lamar Jackson being on the other side of the field. I can't help but think he probably, is enamored with him, the same kind of passing style and running style, right? So he's going to want to impress him, not that he wouldn't anybody. But I do think at 32.5, that might be the best bet on the board, the over in that game tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a 7:31 kick. When Scott and I return, we'll talk about a little Deshaun Watson potentially starting tomorrow night in Jacksonville. Also touch on some conference odds. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on the grid, coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. We have football action tonight. Nothing better, but big games on tap tomorrow night. And there is news and rumors circulating around the Cleveland Browns with the potential of Deshaun Watson starting tomorrow night in Jacksonville. Right now, Cleveland, a 1.5-point road favorite over the Jacksonville Jaguars on FanDuel. -110 either way. Total set very high at 37.5 for a preseason game. You did see that Jacksonville and Las Vegas went over the 33.5 in the Hall of Fame game. But bigger question, Scott. I know Stefanski wants to get the team ready. He wants to push out all of the rumors and all of the negativity surrounding the program and just, get back to football. But unfortunately, it's going to be a long time before that happens. And if the NFL Deshaun Watson to travel to Jacksonville and start a potential preseason game, I think it's only going to hurt the league in a big way. I think they need to come out, say, he's suspended for a year, and let the chips fall where they may. That being set aside, if Deshaun Watson does start in this game tomorrow night, I'll tell you this, from the public perceptives, I'm all in on Jacksonville. I'm going opposite in this game. The amount of money that's going to flood in my opinion, on Deshaun Watson and Cleveland in this game as a 1.5-point road favorite, you got to be kidding me. Jacksonville already has a game under their belt. Give me Jacksonville right now if Deshaun Watson starts tomorrow night.
Really? I thought you were going to go the other way. Why do you like, I like the extra game. That is huge. I will admit that, but I'm thinking if Watson plays, he's not going to play a quarter. He's probably going to play a half. So why would you go with Jacksonville?
Well, I just think that there's, listen, you know, we know Deshaun Watson's great in terms of an athletic talent, but he hasn't played football in about 2 years, right? 1.5 seasons for the most part, right? In terms of the last time he saw game action, a lot of moving parts. You're going to have a patchwork offensive line. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt aren't going to be in there for a half. Amari Cooper just signed with the team this year. There are a lot of different nuances that the offense has to work out from a continuity perspective. And then on top of it, you want to risk injury to your star player that you just gave $280 million guaranteed that you might not even know if he's going to play a down in the regular season this year. No way. Absolutely no way am I back in Cleveland in this type of situation. I know how Jacksonville is perceived, but Doug Peterson's a good enough coach, and I like the backups that they have. You know, Kyle Sloter, and more importantly, Jake Luton moved the football against Las Vegas, especially in garbage time. I think they win the ball game outright at home.
You know, you're kind of convincing me. You're right about the Hunt. You know, obviously Hunt's not playing, and Chubb is probably not going to play. So now I do wonder a little bit about Watson. Could you imagine him getting hurt? Could you? I mean, you shouldn't even bring it up, right? Could you imagine this guy blowing his knee out or something crazy like that? That would be just like the Cleveland Browns. So if you're not going to play him, are you going to really risk Jacoby Brissett? Get a Joshua Dobbs and Josh Rosen for the Browns. So... yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, it's hard putting American money on Jacksonville. I mean, they picked up their Hall of Fame game right where they left off last year. I mean, they look like they're going to be just as bad. So this is I'm surprised the over-under is as high as it is. This is a tough bet for me. But I was leaning towards the Browns, to be honest with you. But now you got me thinking, though. Maybe not.
Well, I'm on Jacksonville plus the 100. I don't even want the 1.5. I'll tell you that. I'll take them at plus 100 to win the ball game outright. The fact that they are a home dog in this type of environment, I think Doug Peterson has them, you know, up and ready. And the biggest thing for losing organizations, and we talk about this all the time, and this even goes to Detroit, and you saw the Hard Knock special and Aiden Hutchinson is, you know, losing is contagious. That's the biggest thing. Once you get into that mindset where every game is an uphill battle, you forget how to win, right? So how do you change the culture? You have to change it in the preseason. You really do. Get what it feels like to get a W under your belt, whether it be a preseason game, a scrimmage. That's how it starts to be contagious on the other end. And in this potential matchup, you know, Jacksonville should be the more consistent type of team because that they played about 10 days ago, right? That's the biggest thing. 8-9 days ago, they played the Hall of Fame game. They are prepped and ready. And think about all the media circus that's going to be around. If Watson is under center, even for a series in this ball game, are you kidding me? All eyes will be on Cleveland. Nobody will be concentrating on Jacksonville.
Yeah, but that's why maybe the Browns have the edge. And that's probably why they're doing this, right? Just to kind of get this out of the way, even though, you know, week number 7 of the NFL season is a long time for now. But just get the first one out of the way. But if you're the Cleveland Browns and you're Kevin Stefanski, Joe, you know, what are you telling the world? You know, everyone hates us. Everyone's rooting against us. Everyone thinks this and that. We had all these issues. If there was a team with, a semi-veteran head coach that really needs to instill a little winning attitude, a little winning atmosphere, and it would be Cleveland. So as much as Jacksonville wants to win, I think the Browns want to win this as well and just kind of show the world they're about winning football, not all the other stuff off the field.
Now, I will say total is very high for a preseason game, right? We see 34, yeah. 35, 36. This is 37.5. I mean, we're talking almost 8 touchdowns to get this total right now. Not 8, excuse me, 6 touchdowns, right?
Highest 5, on the 6. Board all weekend.
Yeah.
7.
I mean, highest
no, 6,
one. 6, yeah. I can't figure it out, though, for the life of me, in terms of why it's so high when you have offenses that want to run the football. As good as Deshaun Watson is, it's not like they're going to be chucking it 50 times in this ballgame. I mean, the wide receiver depth at Cleveland is not that great in particular. Jakeem Grant just went down. Maybe they want to work in some younger wide receivers, but at the end of the day, I still think Jacksonville has a more, you know, balanced type of offense in this matchup. Cleveland's defense all not that bad in terms of second and third teamers, still like the under there in terms of this matchup. But let's take a deeper look at Cleveland, okay? Let's assume Deshaun Watson is under center week 7, okay? And he performs, let's just say, 80% of where he was a year and a half ago for Houston. Are you buying into this team to be a division leader, to win it and steal it? Or do you feel like they're just maybe a wild card contender at this point, and with or without seeing Watson in terms of this play tomorrow night?
Right. I would say, no, I don't think, I still think Cincinnati is the best team in the division. If I was going to do an underdog, you know, dark horse, it would be Pittsburgh. So Cleveland wouldn't be on my radar. I don't think they're going to be that good. I think with all the issues, everything going on, Brissett stinks. I mean, I could easily see them going 2-4 in the six games that we know he's going to at least miss. So I don't see them, you know, going 4-2 even with, you know, and the schedule's pretty easy to start the year. They got a little bit of a break from the NFL, which I'm surprised with Carolina, the Jets, and the Falcons among their first three games. But nah, I'm not a Browns fan. Never have been. Won't be. Maury Cooper. If a Cooper couldn't have a lot of success with Dallas with the way they throw the football, I don't see them having any kind of great success with the Cleveland Browns either. So I think they're getting with no Beckham obviously anymore and no Landry. They really kind of turned this team over here a little bit, and they're a 500 football team to me.
Okay. Now, if I told you that Deshaun Watson's going to miss 17 games and potentially they'd implement Jimmy Garoppolo as the starter, does that change your assessment for Cleveland entering week one? Would you buy in as a 3-1 shot to maybe challenge Baltimore and Cincinnati in terms of their half of the AFC North?
Yeah, definitely. Over Jacoby.
So Garoppolo would put you over the top.
Yeah.
Really?
He would put me over and say, yeah. He's good. Wow. He's not great, but he's good. You know, he would be the second best quarterback, right, in the conference? Well,
About that. Second best quarterback in the conference?
Oh, yeah, in the division.
I don't know. You're putting him ahead of Lamar? I don't know about that. I think, I'll tell you this. Yeah. If Jimmy Garoppolo were to be dealt for right now in terms of Cleveland, I think there definitely has the potential of a 10-win football team. That's the pinnacle of where this team is entering the season. I'm not buying into Deshaun Watson. I'm not buying into this team as being a sleeper. Too much negativity. When Scott and I return, we'll break down some other teams in the NFC. Keep it where...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, continuing the conversation in terms of the AFC and NFC teams, we talked about the three preseason games, the two games later tonight between the Pats and Giants, also the Tennessee Titans and Baltimore Ravens, also brought up Deshaun Watson potentially starting in Jacksonville tomorrow night. Jacksonville right now, 1.5-point dog on FanDuel. I'm all in with the Jaguars due to the fact that they had a game already under their belt. I know they suck, but at the end of the day, I'm willing to roll the dice on Doug Peterson, Kyle Sloter, and more importantly, Jake Luton to get me over the hump tomorrow night in Jacksonville. We'll see how that game plays out. But we heard all week about the potential news surrounding Matt Stafford with the LA Rams. Does the elbow injury affect this team moving forward? They don't really know how to deal with this injury right now, Scott. Opens up a question and concern for the whole NFC right now, right? If you look at LA and Stafford maybe isn't 100%, might not affect the team now, but obviously it could affect them if they're making a playoff run, especially in late December, early January. Last thing you want is your signal caller to go down with a potential elbow injury, especially since it is his throwing elbow, number one. And two, they see it more in terms of pitchers with that Tommy John type of elbow where they're shelved or have to have surgery for a period of time. Team is giving him cortisone shots. He missed practice a couple of times. If he's not there, there's no way I could buy into the LA Rams, even with John Wolford at the helm, as being a Super Bowl contender, right? We saw Tampa Bay have their concerns in terms of the offensive line. Their backup center was injured. According to sources, it was cramps. That's another concern. Their starting center went down already. If the offensive line can't protect Tom Brady, they're not the same lethal offense in that type of situation. And we know that an aging quarterback that can cannot be protected, you know, there's question marks there. So I open up this question to you. Is it worth, and I took this approach last year, is it worth, even though Mike McCarthy sucks, the division basically sucks in the NFC East, and even though Dallas and no team has won it in back-to-back years since 04, is it worth a shot to throw some money as a Super Bowl contender on the Dallas Cowboys, seeing what we have in terms of the other NFC teams at the top of the heap?
You know, I do like Dallas. I bought into them every single year, and I told myself I wasn't going to buy into them this year. Yeah, 18 straight seasons. Think about that, Joe. 18 straight seasons of not having a back-to-back NFC East champ. You know, and we're not talking about a division that has, like, baseball, you know, 7, 8, 9 teams like the old days, or 10 teams. I mean, you talk about 4 teams. You know, there's only 4 possibilities. There's only 3 other possibilities. And for them to go 18 straight years is kind of amazing. You know, I went through half the league so far with my over-under plays. And Dallas, I actually have as one of my better overplays. It's at 10.5 plus 105. I got them going 12-5 as they did last year. And, you know, it's 1.5 over the number that they're giving you. Here's the thing about the Cowgirls. Did you realize that they have 6 games out of 17, which is, you know, pretty good number, right? That they'll be facing teams that will have less rest than they will. That's the most in NFL history. They say the average is about 2.5 games. So generally 2 or 3 games, you'll be facing a team, meaning that maybe played on a Monday night or you're playing on a Saturday, and so you have that extra day's rest the next week, that type of thing, or Thanksgiving Day games and this and that. So they're going to have 6 games against teams that are going to have less rest than them. That's huge. And you throw in their schedule is one of the easiest anyway. So point being, they're going to be in a good spot. Now, listen, they lost at home last year to San Fran, so they can lose again. No two ways about it, but they're going to have one of the better records. They should have a home game for at least the first round of the postseason. So you want a dog in the fight, you know, Dallas would be the one, especially in a division that I don't think is going to be any good again this year.
20-1 on FanDuel right now. So, I mean, you know, we talk about odds. Now, I jumped on them last year at 12-1, midseason, right? That's when Dak was having a breakout performance. CeeDee Lamb was stepping up. Obviously, Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs were just leading the NFL in terms of, you know, fumbles and turnovers and just, you know, defensive opportunities and scores. But if you're telling me I could get maybe potentially the third or fourth best team in the NFC right now with the other teams that I mentioned with question marks, a major question mark. It's not like we were just throwing it out of thin air. If Matt Stafford is good for, let's say, September, October, but then he falls off a cliff because he can't throw the football more than 25 yards down the field, that offense is not going to be as lethal with or without Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp in there, right? It's just a matter of fact. There's a significant drop-off from Stafford, obviously, a Super Bowl winning quarterback to John Wolford. It just is what it is. And I'll tell you this.
Go ahead. Well, no. I was going to say, you know, I'm also leery of the Rams. You know, the Rams are supposed to be the smartest team in the world, right? What are they doing given a contract extension to a quarterback who still had a year left on his contract who's got arm issues? You know, if I'm worrying about the Rams, you know, X's and O's and everything, okay, but if I'm worrying about their numbers and salary cap and everything, I'm ripping up a contract and I'm getting a new contract to a guy who's got arm issues?
Well, that you know what that is, Scott. That's like the thanks for giving you a title.
I know, but
thanks
for bringing it home. They did that to so many guys, though, Joe. You know, they gave the head coach a new contract. They're giving the GM a new contract. They gave the quarterback a new contract. They gave the wide receiver a new contract. And they gave their best defensive player a new contract. That's a lot of non-incentive possibilities for this Rams football team. And now you throw in that Stafford's got a bum arm. I'm anti-Rams this year. That's a lot of guys getting paid a lot of money in the NFL, and we've seen it happen way, way too many times. These guys get paid. You think Aaron Donald's going to want to bust his you-know-what now that he finally has his big payday? You think Matthew Stafford, married now, and they're sitting a high life, you think he's going to want to stay at the camp watching, you know, Atlanta Falcon versus New Orleans Saints game films? No, same thing with the head coach. No, I think this is a 500 football team.
Well, I will say this. Prior to the news about the elbow, I already bought into them being a playoff team and 10-plus wins. I just put them in a couple of parlays with a couple of the college plays that I did, right? Because I thought, at least on paper, they were the most complete team in the NFC. And the only thing that they were lacking is potentially motivation. Now, that's a big question mark. We see it all the time in terms of the Super Bowl hangover. I will say, on the flip side, we haven't seen that with Kansas City for the most part, even with Mahomes and even with them getting blown out by Tampa Bay a couple of years ago. They've been in the running for the last couple of seasons, right? So at the end of the day, I agree with you. I think right here, right now, there's too many question marks. I don't buy into the fact that it's just a tendonitis and that they'll just monitor it. That's always a cause of concern for me, because if it's starting now and he's throwing, let's say, 30 or 40 times in a NFL Sunday, that tight window from week to week, he needs to be at least 90%. That's not something you could turn on and turn off. So there's no way to double down at this point on the LA Rams, so I'm backing off a little bit. Green Bay, we know about their concerns. The concerns are, what does this offense look like without Devontae Adams in the lineup? That was the security blanket for Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, all the teams at the top, the offensive line concerns with Tampa Bay. You lose your starting center. You're on a backup. He gets nicked. Tristan Wirfs gets nicked up in practice. All of a sudden now, if the continuity's disrupted, what do you really have with an aging quarterback? We saw it in the first half with L.A. When that offensive line couldn't protect Aaron Donald and the defensive front for the L.A. Rams, they were getting blown out. 27-3 was the first half score, right? In terms of in that matchup, it wasn't until it was in garbage time and Sean McVay almost blew the game with his play calling that Tampa Bay tied the ball game up. So you can never say never. I just look at it in terms of, you want to give me 20-1 to the team that won the division. We know the other quarterbacks in there, Jalen Hurts, Danny Dimes, and obviously Carson Wentz, all have concerns. But in the regular season, you got to give it to Dak Prescott. He is head and shoulders above every quarterback in that division this year.
Oh, yeah. Definitely head and shoulders. Definitely. So the only one I would give a little, you know, just maybe a little magic with Danny Dimes, Danny Nichols, as I call him, and the Giants. You know, maybe they got a new head coach in there. He seems to know what he's doing. The division is up for grabs to a certain extent. I'm not a big believer in Philadelphia. You know, Barkley's back. Should be 1 year more removed from his knee injuries. I do like their wide receiver core. Defense played a little bit better second half of the season. You know, maybe, just maybe, the Giants can turn things around. But I don't think at the level of, like, beating Dallas and then, you know, winning the division. But I do think they could challenge for, like, a 500 record and maybe a wild card.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it, Scott. I mean, Dallas plus 125 is not that bad. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, if they start 6-0 or 7-0, they're not going to be positive money anymore. I think you're right. I think the Giants at 7-1 is worth the risk in terms of the division, because if you want to go off trends, they have a shot just based off that, right? First-year head coach. Now, I will say this about the Giants, and this will go into their game tomorrow night. I think the Giants have a better shot to get over 9 wins with Tyrod Taylor at the helm than they do Danny Dimes. I'm just not buying into the consistency of Daniel Jones. He's been nicked up, and you want to give me Tyrod Taylor? Even though he's a journeyman quarterback, he's still battle-tested. He can run. I know, but he can run, though, Scott. He can run. Yeah. He's better than Danny Dimes. He sucks.
He's going to run all the way to the bank with a paycheck. He's not
17
an NFL
million
quarterback.
17 million over 2 years. Eight and a half
that's
a year.
Amazing. What a nice
incredible
job, huh? What a nice job. And let me throw, we got to take a break here, but I got an interesting question for you that maybe you can come up with an answer to, pertaining to Tom Brady, who I think it's awfully coincidental, awfully convenient he's taking a personal couple of days and he won't be around for the Tampa Bay Dolphin game this week.
I saw that news, and I was going to bring it up in the last segment. When we come back, we'll talk NFC North, and we'll talk a little Tom Brady. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back on Football Full Circle. Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel kicking it around. We talked about the NFC, talked about teams like Dallas, Tampa Bay, and the LA Rams. Scott brought up the situation in Tampa, and Tom Brady's going to take, what, a couple of personal days before he heads back with the team, because Tampa Bay does square off against the Miami Dolphins in terms of preseason action. It begs a different type of question, or maybe something deeper that needs to be investigated. If Miami lost a first-round draft pick last year, right, with the tampering next year, excuse me, for tampering with Tom Brady when he was a member of the Patriots, and last year as well, why is Tom Brady getting off scot-free? Maybe you should drop the hammer on Tom Brady. Make him miss, what, 6 to 10 games this year, Scott?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but, why shouldn't he get penalized, right? It takes 2 to 10. One of the guys brought this up, TK, on the morning show that I host. It's like, why does Tom Brady get off scot-free? It takes 2 to 10. And if the penalty is so severe, now, I know part of it is because the Dolphins apparently dealt with Sean Payton when he was head coach of the Saints. But I'll say that third-round pick was because of that. If the penalty to talk to Tom Brady is so severe that you're losing a number one draft choice, which is pretty hefty, right? I mean, why isn't Brady punished? Why doesn't the NFL go to Tom Brady and say, listen, you're under contract with the Patriots. You're under contract with the Buccaneers. You know that. You're not a rookie. You know the rules. So you got to get suspended. I would say at least 2 games. First round pick for a team equates to about 2 games for a player. It's an interesting thought, right? Why should the Dolphins only get punished for doing something wrong?
Well, this goes deeper in terms of the Brian Flores situation with the tanking as well. They wanted to set a precedent,
they couldn't prove they tanked any game.
Well, I know, but that's part of it as well. They say, but here's the thing, Scott. We're both Dolphin fans. I disagree that the Dolphins weren't tanking. When you lose your first 4 games of 2019 by an average margin of defeat of 34.2 points per game, and you lose 59-10 week one against the Baltimore Ravens, and then you follow that up with a, 40-0 loss to New England, and then what, 31-7 to L.A. or Dallas, and 30-0 to L.A.? I mean, come on. I mean, really? We're not talking.
That's this not isn't, tanking. That means you suck.
I
remember the Dolphin. Yes. Listen, they were lost, Joe. I remember the Dolphin. I'm pretty sure it was the Ravens game.
That was week one.
Week one. Our guy Brian Flores is calling a timeout with under 2 minutes left, down 40 points. I'm like,
but
are you that clueless?
But Scott, that
are
doesn't mean that tanking.
Yes, it does. It means that he's clueless. So I don't think they're tanking. They weren't well coached at that point. I mean,
they
weren't a good
possible football
team.
And all right, I'll play devil's advocate in this situation. I believe they were tanking, and like I said, you have to show me in the NFL history books as bad of teams as we've seen. Indianapolis when they were 0-16, Detroit when they were terrible. Show me teams that were that bad in terms of NFL records that lost their first 4 games in terms of NFL action by an average margin of defeat of 34.2 points per game. This wasn't Ohio State playing Tulsa or Toledo in the MAC. The 59-10
who's calling a timeout with under 2 minutes left. Okay. Down 59-10.
Totally agree.
He was clueless.
All right. You're right. He's clueless.
7 games or 5 in the last 9 games.
Right.
5-4. They pissed away a chance at Joe.
Okay, so that same head coach, right, that sucked in the first four games of the season, all of a sudden had an epiphany and turned around and became one of the better head coaches in the AFC down the stretch. Is that what you're telling me?
I guess.
No, come on.
He didn't try and win the first 4 games, but then said this is no good.
If the owner that's paying your salary comes to you and says, listen, we'll pay you $100,000 a game to obviously not win, so we want to better ourselves for the position of a draft next season, you're going to do it. That's your guy. That's your bread. That's your bread guy. That's who's feeding you each and every week. I mean, it just doesn't stop. Okay, so, all right, Brian Flores, all of a sudden, he became a better head coach after the first four games of the regular season, and they turned it around, and they developed.
Well, mid-season? They put Josh Rosen on the bench. You know, that was the fall. They put in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
59-10? 59-10. I mean, that's the problem that I have with the NFL saying that the tanking was not, you know, there was no... there were no results from that investigation. We found no wrongdoing from the Miami Dolphins. But you find them a first-round draft pick this year coming up in 2023 because of Tom Brady. That's them dropping the hammer. They can't say that the Miami Dolphins were tanking. There's no way right. The league will ever say, yeah, we found wrongdoing by Miami. You know why? Because they're in bed with everybody. They're in bed with sponsors. If the game is somehow fixed or, let's say, sort of... pushed in a direction where it favors one particular side, that there's gamblers, there's people that watch these games from a fantasy perspective. You know the backlash that they would get. You think Deshaun Watson's getting bad backlash now? And rightfully so for his type of situation and incident. There would be three times when you start affecting people's wallets, the average Joe, the backlash is that much more. They can never come out and say our product was sort of fixed because of outcomes, because an owner came to a head coach and said, we want you to lose. They can never say that.
I agree with that. So you're saying they got docked the first rounder because of the tanking, not because of talking to Tom Brady. And that's why Tom Brady should get off.
Right, exactly.
Well, he should get something. I'm shocked and I'm disappointed in the anti-Brady people out there that there wasn't any kind of furor about how, you know, the Dolphins are losing a first rounder and Brady's getting nothing. Nothing. And now Brady's too gutless to face the media when Tampa Bay, I don't buy for a second personal reason. What? Come on. Please. He doesn't want to face the Miami Dolphin media. It's as simple as that. We know that.
Oh, you're probably right about that. Yeah, you know, which is sort of, I mean, he's faced everything else. The Deflategate. He's faced everything in terms of Bill Belichick with the taping of the practices and, you know, the Super Bowls and the scripted plays and everything. I mean, come on, he can't face this. This is nothing.
Well, this is one where it's specifically him. Like, it is him meeting with the Dolphins, him going on that boat. You know, where the other things was Belichick and the TV people and the ball boy deflating the football even. This is something specifically him doing it. That's what maybe makes this a little different.
You think he's worth 8-1 to win the MVP, that being said, behind Allen and Mahomes?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, in that division, 8-1, right? I mean, they're going to win the division.
No, not the division. This is for NFL MVP. Yeah.
You're going to win the division means he's going to be good. So, you know, you have to, you know, be on a good team. So he's going to win the division. He's going to be on a good team. 8-1 for Brady, the numbers he put up last year. I think he will miss Antonio Brown. I'm not going to count anything on Julio Jones. He's obviously going to miss Gronk. But, you know, it's going to be interesting, Joe, because if you watch, and I know you did, Todd Bowles was not exactly Mr. Offensive Genius here with the New York Jets. You know, I mean, you know, so different story, I get that, but he wasn't throwing the football 40 times. And one thing about Bruce Arians, whether they got along or not, who knows really, but he let Brady throw as much as he freaking wanted to. So I don't know if Bowles is going to do that. That could cause a little bit of an issue down there.
Yeah, it's possible. Now, I do want to talk about worst season this season in terms of the regular season, right? They have Houston as +350. You think, and you made the argument, they could be potentially a playoff team this year, wild card, right, with that situation that plays out. They're the front runners along with Atlanta. Then you have Seattle at +750. You have the Jets with Zach Wilson at 9-1, Jacksonville at 9-1, and Carolina at 9-1. This is for worst regular season record. What's amazing is that they have actually Chicago at +750. I think the book screwed up there. They have them behind Carolina. What about, and I'll throw a team out there, Washington at 35-1. I am not sold on Carson Wentz. I am not sold on Ron Rivera. I'm not sold on that defense as much as I like certain players on that team, like Antonio Gibson and Jahan Dotson. I like Terry McLaurin. I don't know if this team actually has an identity. And the way they got blown out by Dallas last year, if this defense doesn't make a 360 to where they were when they won the division, at 35-1, potentially they could be the worst team in the NFL this year.
They could. You know, in that division and the way they finished up, they got a pretty easy schedule. They got Jacksonville on there. They got Houston. They got Atlanta. Obviously, they got the Giants twice. But at 35-1, it wouldn't be the craziest thing in the world to see them just completely bottom out. I'm not a big Wentz guy either, although I do think he got a raw deal with Indianapolis.
Are you a buyer of Rivera, though? I'm not. I don't think he's that good of a head coach. And, you know, we talk about it's a great story. I wish him the best. And, you know, my thoughts and prayers are out to him. He beat cancer, and it's a great feel-good story. And that defense was elite 2 years ago. But they were still 7-9 last year. They were under 500. They haven't been over 500 in his tenure there. And with Taylor Heinicke, that I actually thought was an upgrade, they went in the tubes. I mean, think about that. And the defense went the opposite way. It's not like, I know Chase Young went down, but Chase Young was not the reason why the secondary allowed close to 250 yards per game last year, or why Dallas put a 50 spot on them at the end of the year. That wasn't Chase Young's fault. I mean, that's Ron Rivera. That's that team right now. And they don't really have an identity, and I'm not buying into him as being this coach that could take them to the next level. I put him on the hot seat.
Yeah. I don't know if they can go through a coaching change right now with all the issues for Washington. But
why not?
You don't even know if you have an owner at this point. I mean, you barely have a nickname at this point. What a disgrace. I at 35-1, I'd take a crack at it. But I got to tell you, it's either Jacksonville or Houston. It's probably going to come down to those two games. And you look at Houston's schedule, it's not easy. You know, they do have some tough games on that schedule. You know, obviously they got the Colts twice. They got at Denver, you're not going to win. At Raiders, you're not going to win. Philadelphia, you're not going to win. Dallas on the road, you're not going to win. Kansas City, you're not going to win. The two Tennessee games, you're not going to win. There's only a handful of games. And with Lovie Smith, I mean, this guy a month and a half ago thought he was going to be working at 7-Eleven, and now he's the head coach of the Texans. I mean, God bless him. Good luck. But this has got a 2 or 3 win situation to be written all over it. So
they have no running game.
It's
going to
be that bad. No running game.
No running game and no front seven. And I said it before in terms of the draft. They went Derek Stingley Jr., cornerback, third overall. When you lose Jadeveon Clowney, you lose J.J. Watt over the past 3 or 4 seasons, you really need to solidify your defensive end, your defensive front. You could have went Kayvon Thibodeau. You could have went with another different player. You could have traded up one spot, maybe gotten Hutchinson. I mean, at the end of the day, what are you doing taking Derek Stingley Jr.? A cornerback that had a subpar season in LSU is just a mind-boggling to me in terms of that assessment and breakdown what they did in the draft. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Joe Lisi and Scott Wetzel right here on The Grid, coming right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, wrapping up today's show, Joe Lisi, Scott Wetzel. Scott will be with me again tomorrow. Ben will be back on Monday. We'll dive deeper into the NFL and obviously the college game. But we were left off talking about NFL MVP candidates. We want to talk about Offensive Player of the Year. It's a little bit different, obviously, than NFL MVP, right, Scott? So they have Jonathan Taylor at 10-1, Cooper Kupp, Everybody's All-American, 14-1, Justin Jefferson at 16-1, along with Derrick Henry. Now, I will say Debo Samuel, 18-1, I'm not buying. Because I don't know if Debo signing the extensions wants the wear and tear, even though he's getting the money now. He wants to obviously have his career go 5, 6, 7 years down the road. So I'm not buying into him or Nick Chubb for that matter. But you want to give me Devontae Adams potentially at 20-1 in terms of that assessment? I might take a shot on Adams, coupled with his teammate Derek Carr in terms of Las Vegas. They might have one of the most explosive offenses defenses in the NFL this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Right? You know, I keep on going back to the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers. You know, whenever they left Pittsburgh, the Santonio Holmes of the world, and they never really, really prospered elsewhere. Is that going to happen to Davante Adams or with Josh McDaniels as the head coach there in Oakland, Las Vegas? Are they going to throw the football all over the place? I'm curious to see, you know, whether it was Rodgers helping Adams or Adams helping Rodgers. But, you know, I do think they are going to throw, and that's not a bad little 20-1 number on Devontae.
No, it's not, right? And I'll tell you what, I still say it right here, right now. I think Las Vegas is the most complete team in the AFC West. Yes, I did say it. That's ahead of Kansas City and Pat Mahomes. That's ahead of everybody's, the All-American team in the L.A. Chargers and obviously Denver. We have to see how that situation plays out. Another player that you could potentially bank on, I don't know how Scott feels, but if Dalvin Cook is healthy, I think he sails through as an 1150 number in terms of on the ground. If they get to the playoffs and Dalvin Cook leads the NFL in terms of rushing yards over Derrick Henry, 40-1 is great value in my book. We'll be back tomorrow for Scott Wetzel, our great producer, Andrew Torres. I'm Joe Lisi. We'll see you tomorrow. Coming up next, the early line with Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh. See you next week. We could get